This episode is brought to you by VPP Simplified. Now you can get element by element guidance and progress tracking for your VPP journey. Every aspect of the VPP requirements in one easy to use interactive spreadsheet. It has sub element explanations and examples. It has a stoplight status check. It includes three-step verification of completion for each sub element. You even get a notes section to compile your application language. And it even comes with graphs to show current state and progress moving forward. Look, achieving VPP star status can be tough, but understanding what is required to get there can be simplified. This GAP tool will help you do that. Again, go to vppsimplified.com for more information.
Welcome to the Safety Pro Podcast, where we help you manage workplace safety one episode at a time. And now, your very own safety pro, Blaine J. Hoffman.
Okay, another episode of the Safety Pro Podcast. This one is a follow-up to the previous episode. So basically, I covered labels in general and hazardous chemicals in the workplace. So I've gotten a couple of emails that said, hey, how about a quick rundown? Two emails in particular, one from a small contractor, another one from actually a cleaning service, said, hey, how about a quick rundown on HAZCOM in general? We're not too familiar with it. And I said, okay, not a problem. So I am going to take a step back and talk about HAZCOM, hazard communication. Now, we all know that hazard communication covers chemicals in the workplace. It can be found in the OSHA regulations 29 CFR 1910.1200. That contains the regulation and appendices as well. So, chemicals, of course, can pose a wide range of health and safety hazards. Everything from, you know, mild skin irritation, sensitization, also things on the other end of the spectrum like carcinogens, things that could cause cancer, or corrosives, things that can actually create an immediate serious health impact. So basically you have the health side of things, then you have the safety side or physical hazards, right? You've got things that are flammable, corrosive, again, and reactive with other chemicals. This kind of, you know, made me start thinking about the cleaning contractor, about mixing certain types of cleaners together that could cause some serious reactivity issues. Now, the HAZCOM standard, or HCS, so anytime you hear HCS, it's Hazard Communication Standard. It was basically designed to ensure that information about these types of hazards and any protective measures is communicated to the employees. Now, you can accomplish this by requiring chemical manufacturers, importers, or in the case of a small contractor, you know, quite literally, you go down to the big box, you know, home improvement store, and you're buying these chemicals, or you go to the big box club stores. I don't want to name them, of course, but you know who they are. And you can buy these things in bulk, right? You have the responsibility of obtaining the safety data sheets and any associated safety information with that material that you purchase. You can either go to the website, you can contact the manufacturer directly, or you can ask at the point of sale, you can ask, hey, do you happen to have the safety data sheet for this? But you have to get a hold of that information, right? You also have to provide information about them through labels. Check out the previous episode on any shipped containers or containers in a workplace. And of course, the labels only contain sort of that cursory information that you would find as an employee, you know, a pictogram that shows some kind of warning, they got a signal word, a hazard statement, things like that. You really want to go for more detailed information to the safety data sheet. They used to be called material safety data sheets, or MSDS. Now they're just safety data sheets, right? So SDSs. You're going to need to keep a binder full of these, and you have to order them, put them in some kind of order with, you know, cleaners, either alphabetical, by their trade name, or their chemical composition. So you're going to want to also keep a list along with this manual full of safety data sheets. You're going to want to keep a list of chemicals that employees could be exposed to while on the job, a chemical inventory. This can be outside of your hazard communication manual, your actual HAZCOM manual. The HAZCOM manual is something that the employer has to put together to describe how they manage chemicals in the workplace and communicate them to employees, okay? But the safety data sheets, the binder, and the chemical inventory, that can be a separate book, but it has to be made available to employees as well. This is going to set up the foundation for your training. Now, you don't have to conduct training per se for every chemical, but you can cover classes of chemicals. So let's say you use 12, 13 different chemicals in the workplace that are all flammable, and that's pretty much their hazard characteristic. You can do training on flammables in the workplace. It's not like you have to go flammable chemical number one and go through the SDS and cover all those things. Only if there's something unique about it that isn't already included in the other training that you provide. Something that's unique about the hazard communication standard. Now, OSHA regs in general, there are two types of regs. You've got vertical regulations. Those are very specific to a specific industry or type of activity. Gosh, what's a good example? Steel erection, right? You're going to go look into steel erection or excavations for construction, subpart P in the 1926 standards. You can't take some of the guidance that you would find in subpart P for excavations, where they talk about fall protection, and then try to apply it to somebody who's working on a roof. It only applies to excavations. Subpart P only applies to that work activity. So it's very vertical. It's very narrow in scope. Then there are horizontal standards. Horizontal standards have broad application. Hazard communication is one of them. That standard applies to general industry, shipyards, marine terminals, longshoring, even construction employment. It covers chemical manufacturers, importers, employers, and employees that are exposed to chemical hazards. So any employer with one employee and one hazardous chemical is going to be covered. Of course, depending on whether you manufacture, distribute, sell, or just use the chemical, the requirements under the HAZCOM standard may vary. So you've got to figure out where you fit into that mix and then read up on and understand the standard as it applies to you. The manufacturer of chemicals, they have the most stringent requirements in that they're responsible for classifying chemicals as to their hazards. However, employers who use hazardous chemicals have the responsibilities to communicate information to employees about the hazards of the chemicals they work with. So getting all the way down to the cleaning contractor, you've got folks out in the field, either residential or commercial or small business offices or industrial settings. They're going to be using cleaning chemicals all day, every day. You're going to have to provide a level of training beyond what you would expect the basic consumer to know and understand about, let's say, Windex or toilet bowl cleaner, things like that. I'm going to get into household chemicals here in just a moment, but getting back to the scope of the HAZCOM standard, you're required to make sure you communicate hazards of chemicals to all employees that may be exposed to them. I often get this question. Am I exempt? I only have 3 employees. I only have 5 employees. Basically, there are only 2 types of work operations where the coverage of the hazard communication standard is limited, but not totally eliminated, okay? That's laboratories and operations where the chemicals are only handled in sealed containers, like a warehouse. Basically, companies or employers having these types of work operations, they need only to keep labels on containers as they are received. They have to maintain safety data sheets that are received, and they also have to give employees access to them, and they have to provide information and training for the employees. These employers do not have to have written hazard communication programs and lists of chemicals for these types of operations. They're pass-through operations, or in laboratories they have what's known as a chemical hygiene plan that they have to follow if they meet laboratory standards. But in general, those are the 2 employers that would have limited application, okay, but not completely exempt. So I mentioned the HAZCOM standard. It requires employers to have employees that are exposed to hazardous chemicals identify and list the chemicals in their workplaces. So create and maintain that chemical inventory. You also have to obtain safety data sheets and labels for each hazardous chemical. If they're not provided by the manufacturer or importer or distributor, you have to actually create these items, okay, and obtain them somehow. You also have to implement a written HAZCOM program. That includes provisions for proper container labeling, how you're going to manage and store SDSs or safety data sheets, and how you conduct employee training. That has to be spelled out in your written program. You also have to communicate hazard information to the employees through, we mentioned labels and SDSs, but also formal training programs regularly. You have to do this upon assignment. So you can't have somebody go to work for, 30 days to see if they're going to work out, and then you go ahead and do the training. It has to be provided when they are assigned upon initial assignment or upon the introduction of new chemicals, or if they are transferred to another job that uses chemicals or that may expose them to chemicals they didn't previously get trained on. Okay, this one was a big one that came up in a couple of emails, actually. How can I tell if the chemical I'm using is considered a consumer product and therefore we don't need to track it or keep track of it in our chemical inventory or capture it with our hazard communication program, right? All right, good question. I've heard it before, so I have an answer. So the HAZCOM standard, it exempts consumer products, I'm using air quotes here, consumer products from coverage under the HAZCOM standard. The term consumer product simply means any article or component part thereof produced or distributed either for sale to a consumer for use in or around a permanent or temporary household or residence, a school, in recreation, or otherwise, or two, for the personal use, consumption, or enjoyment of a consumer in or around a permanent or temporary household, residence, a school, in recreation, or otherwise. OSHA will not issue citations for consumer products unless the compliance officer can demonstrate, can show that the product was used in the workplace in a manner not intended by the manufacturer, or this is a good one right here. This is the one that's going to get most folks. Or the frequency and duration of use results in exposures that are significantly greater than those experienced by a normal consumer. So yeah, your housekeeping companies, your maid services, industrial cleaning operations, things like that, you're going to fall into this category. Yeah, you can use Windex in the bottle off the shelf from Walmart, and it's got the label on it, it's consumer product. However, if you're driving around with it with four or five bottles of this stuff and all day, every day, using it over and over and over again, your use and exposure is significantly greater than those that would be experiencing it under normal consumer use. So you're going to have to capture Windex in your hazard communication program. You're going to need an SDS, you're going to need to talk about the hazardous properties, and signs, symptoms of exposure, stuff like that. And those companies often use secondary bottles. So you'll buy the large containers in bulk at the big box store, the refills, right? The big 64-ounce bottles or 128-ounce refills, and you pour them in your own squirt bottles. They have to be labeled, and they have to be keyed to the safety data sheet for that product. So especially commercial cleaning operations, housekeeping, house cleaning, contractors. That's something you can add to your vehicle check, either van or car, or the cars that drive around have the cleaning logos on them and everything. You're going to drive around with this stuff, and you've got your little caddy that the maid cleaning folks come jump out of the car, and they have their caddy, and they walk into the residence, or they have the cart that is either on a van or if they're lucky enough to have something under contract at a place of employment, like a business office or something like that, with all these chemicals, you're going to need to include an inspection. Call that out in your hazard communication manual, your HAZCOM manual, how you periodically inspect to ensure labels are being maintained, they're present and legible, and that the employees understand the requirements around handling chemicals in the workplace. Don't forget, If you have a cleaning operation where you go into an industrial or even another business like medical offices, you're going to want to make sure you clear with them the chemicals you're bringing in, what can and cannot go down a drain or can be disposed of in the mop sink, things like that. They may have incompatible materials they're dealing with in that facility. They don't want your stuff, you know, going into certain drains. They may have to provide or designate a separate mop sink for your activity where your employees will not be allowed to use the other facilities, okay? So just make sure you clear that. So getting back to consumer products, OSHA instructs their compliance officers to look for the following. One, what establishes the chemical as a consumer product? So make sure that it is truly a consumer product. You can go to a janitorial supply house and you have to show like maybe a license or they only sell to, you know, licensed janitorial companies. There are beauty salon stores that are like this as well. They're open to the public, but you can't buy from them unless you show you have a beautician's license or something like that. That is not considered consumer product because it's limited to, you know, only people who are performing that work can get these items. So that's an example of, does this or does this not establish a consumer product because I can simply buy it at a store? Okay, that's going to be a big red flag for you. Was the container label subject to the Consumer Product Safety Act provisions? That might be one indicator that it establishes the chemical as a consumer product. Here's something else they're going to look for. What hazards does the use of the product expose the employees to? Is the product included in the employer's hazard communication chemical inventory? So if it's not in there and yet you use it frequently every day, that might, you know, throw a red flag for the compliance officer. I'll give you a quick story. I was in an industrial plant, manufacturing plant. They used, actually, I can't remember the name of the consumer product, JetBlue or JetClear or something like that. It was a rinse aid for dishwashers, automatic dishwashers. You pour it in the little dispenser and it, you know, prevents water spots on your dishes. They had the bottle of it sitting there by the machine and they would use it straight. They would use it, you know, full strength on some of their parts and then wipe it to remove spots so they could do a quality check. So they weren't even using it in an automatic dishwasher per the instructions. They weren't using it. So was the product used in the workplace for the purpose intended by the manufacturer? That's one red flag. What about the duration of use of the product? For what period of time did employees use the chemical during the work shift or even the work week? So what they're getting at is, did it greatly exceed normal or expected use by a consumer? So run down those questions in your head. How is the product used and in what amounts? Those are going to be some, you know, red flags for you. There's a couple of ways that you can tell whether or not I'm using a consumer product and I would be, these products would be exempt from the hazard communication program. So the compliance officer would consider all of these questions to make sure that the chemicals you're using that you consider to be consumer products are in fact consumer products and therefore exempted articles under the HAZCOM standard. Okay, another quick episode. I am, you know, doing really good at some of these 20-minute jobs, but I want to get into some in the future, some more in-depth topics. So you may see, keep an ear out, because you're going to see a series of episodes come out in, like I did with the VPP. I broke it up into four separate episodes because of the depth of the topic. We're going to get into some ergonomics issues, and I'll have probably an interview or two coming up, which is a first for the Safety Pro podcast, interviews, right? But you're going to see more in-depth information about some other topics going forward. But I try to get on these short topics as I get email questions about them so that I can get this information out in a timely manner. And, you know, most of the folks that email me are small companies, small contractors, and even small tool and die shops, some fabricators. You know, I love hearing from everybody out there in these different industries. Keep the questions coming. you know, hit the link in the email. It's in the show notes. Don't be afraid to ask me a question. I will always get back to you, and I will make sure that I put you in the direction you need to go to understand how these safety regulations rules apply to you and how you can then take that information and use it to help make your workplace safer and healthier for your employees. Thanks again for listening to the Safety Pro Podcast, and until next time, be safe.
Thanks for listening to the Safety Pro Podcast. Be sure to visit www.consulthoffman.com for articles and information about safety services. To have Blaine read your question on the show, email him at customerservice@consulthoffman.com. Be sure to have two F's and two N's on Hoffman. Until next time, be safe.